The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Delighted to have you here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. If you got a pebble, call me. 770-563-3770-KMED. And my email is bill@billmeyershow.com. Heard all over Southern Oregon on AM. That's a little bit Freudian slurp or something it is coming back. But yeah, FM 106.3, 106.7 in South Jackson County. 105.9 in Grants Pass, and of course 99.3 in Josephine County, Greater Josephine County, over on KBXG. All right. Appreciate you wherever you happen to be, and of course streamed on KMED.com. All right. Right before I came on, though, once again, there's that Pfizer ad with Elizabeth Banks talking about, hello, Gen Xers. If you're a Gen Xer, are you buying this that you need to line up for your pneumonia vaccine? It just kind of cracks me up about everything I know about Generation X. Now, I'm a late boomer, so I'm 1961. I'm one of the last of the boomers, one of the last of the Mohicans, one of the last bitter clinging, hanging on, and some Generation Z person saying, why didn't you die? Get out of the way so I could take your job. You know, that kind of thing. But still, you know, one of the last of the boomers, so I'm right next to the Gen Xers. I was married to a Gen Xer once. And everything I knew and ever understood about Gen X was that the last thing that they were going to trust is some guy or some celebrity in a white coat telling you to go out there and get a shot. Am I right? You know, this whole idea that, hey, we were the first to bring you the internet and the first to bring you, I don't know. I'm just scratching my head over that one. It's like, wow. You know, the last thing that ever worked with Generation X was to say, well, you have to be part of the crowd. Because, you know, this was the, you know, generation kind of latchkey and watched, not raised, you know, those kind of things. And frankly, I think they became pretty good parents because they didn't have as good of a growing up time as many others did. I actually think that many of them became more stricter parents, but I don't think that all of a sudden means that they're buying everything that the Fauci types were selling. I could be wrong about that, but if you are Gen X, let me know if Elizabeth Banks imploring you to go and join the crowd works for Generation X. 770-5633. It just makes me laugh every time. Okay, all right. Something else that makes me laugh. I'm looking at this story. This came Associated Press picked this one up. And it is from NBC News initially here. You know those email signatures at the end of the messages, the ones that include a range of information about the senders, phone numbers, address, social media handles, and in recent years, pronouns, letting the recipient know that the sender goes by she, he, they, or something else. A digital acknowledgement that people claim a range of gender identities. Among those who don't agree are President Donald Trump and the members of his administration. They have taken, this must be a complaint from NBC News. They have taken aim at what he calls gender ideology. I don't think it's really a matter of what he calls gender ideology. I think it is what it is, gender ideology. With measures like an executive order requiring the United States to recognize only two biological sexes. Only two biological sexes, male and female. Federal employees were told to take any references to their pronouns out of their email signatures. And that stance seems to have spread beyond those who work for the government to those covering it. According to some journalist accounts, officials in the administration have refused to engage with reporters who have pronouns listed in their signature. New York Times reporting that two of its journalists in one and another outlet receiving response from administration officials that say, as a matter of policy, we don't respond to reporters with pronouns in their bios. And I just want to say, you know, White House, Donald Trump, if just for that, just for that program, Real American Salute. Yes, thank you. One of the first steps to stop the nonsense is to stop acknowledging and believing the nonsense. And there are people who email me all the time. Either they're looking for, they have something which is going on with their organization. They would like to pitch an interview, maybe. Maybe I'd like to talk to them about their issue. And I have to tell you, the moment that I see a whole bunch of she, theys, them, it, and I'm done. I'm kind of the same way, and I've been that way for a long time because it's like, oh, gosh. Now, maybe this is a little bit unfair. There could be a possibility that if you're working for a hospital situation or a hospital organization here in Southern Oregon, they've been so wokey-brokey that you have to put a pronoun in there or else it's you're in trouble with your corporation. But for the most part, I just get to the point where, just knock it off, and then I put it in the trash. Right? That's what I do every time. Thank you, Trump administration, making it safe to ignore absurdities again. I don't know if that'll make a great bumper sticker. But the challenge that we've had with this insane left, though, is that there's the old saying that if they get you to believe absurdities, they'll also get you to go along with atrocities. If you cannot acknowledge the truth of what is going on, even biologically with people. Okay, you got the blue hair, you got the safety pin through the nose, and you have 40 variations of pronouns and identities and things like that. Okay, you can believe that, but I don't have to buy a ticket to your crazy casino. Okay, I don't have to buy the ticket. And the Trump administration is doing this now at NBC News, and the Associated Press is very upset because they don't want to deal with us. Yes, because once again, you're getting us to or trying to force us to believe an absurdity. All right. 770-5633. So we have Generation X is Elizabeth Banks going to convince you to line up for Pfizer's latest jab for pneumonia or not? Because, hey, we were the first to have music videos and everything. There's a part of it that says, did the people over at Pfizer actually understand what Generation X was all about? It was kind of like doing their own thing and not believing much in the institutions. And believe me, this country has had a lot of reasons to not trust institutions to the same point that we once did. So there we go. A couple of pebbles off of my shoe or out of my shoe right now. 770-5633. Let me go to you. I think the line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. This is Vicky from the Applegate.
Hello, Vicky. You Gen X or not?
I am. I'm like from the 60s.
Okay, so mid-60s? Mid-60s, yeah. And on? Okay, all right. So you have Elizabeth Banks saying, come on, Gen X, woohoo! It's time for us to roll up the sleeve, get our pneumonia shot. Now, I've had a pneumonia shot, but it wasn't because Elizabeth Banks said that. What are you thinking?
I don't do shots.
You don't?
No. I don't do any of the shots. Nope. I got all my shots when I was back when it was somewhat safe when I was a kid and got all the shots.
Okay, you got that stuff then. Do you agree with me that the overall tenor of your generation is to not sit around there and, hey, let's just do everything because everybody else says we're going to do it? How about that?
No, I was born in the day that you pretty much did what your parents said and what your school teacher said and what the police said, and that's it. Not so much the government.
Interesting. Okay, see, that's what I thought. And I was just wondering, to me, I'm looking at this as a big Pfizer fail, but maybe that's just what they got to do. I don't know.
Well, I have a funny transgender story for you real quick, Bill.
Okay.
So my son has tortoises and boa.
And oh, no. I wonder where this is.
Okay. One of his tortoises, Mabel, mm-hmm. Is 15. And just the other day, my son came in running in and was like, oh, my God, something's wrong with Mabel, Mom. Her guts are coming out. And
oh, no.
I've had farm animals, so I know what certain guts look like. Let's just put it that way. So I go running over there, and turns out Mabel is a Gable. So that's really the only kind of transgender I want to deal with.
Really? So Mabel wasn't female, or Mabel was what?
No, yeah, Mabel was not female. And here we thought all these years, 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And I told my son, I said, Mabel is not a girl.
Oh.
And it's really funny when you were doing the pronouns, because he caught himself going, when he'd refer to her, he's ADHD.
But you see, though, isn't it insane the absurdities that these folks are trying to get everybody to believe? And now that there's a little bit of pushback, they're really upset about this. They won't even talk to us because we have pronouns. Yeah, because you're an idiot. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw a guy that was dressed up as a woman, and he looked like a linebacker. I mean, to each his own. You want to dress like a woman, you want to act like a woman, that's your prerogative. It's America. You can do what you want.
But what you cannot do, in my opinion, is to force everybody to say, oh, yes, this is a woman that's walking by, walking in here. I should let her into the female restroom, that kind of thing.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for the turtle story. I thought you were going to tie this to the transgender turtle thing that that one of those Oregon Health Authority people identified as.
She's not under the Oregon Health Plan.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, I'm glad that Mabel, what are you going to call it? Since it's not, it's not Mabel anymore. What's the name of the turtle or the tortoise now? I have to ask.
Merlin.
There we go. Good. You stuck with the M. Good. All right. Thanks, Vicky. Gen Xer from the Applegate. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hello, Francine. Not a Gen Xer. I know this for sure. But...
Oh, no. I am solid to the core boomer.
Okay, you're a boomer. You're proud of it. All right.
You better believe it.
Yeah, with all those Gen Zs going out there, die so I could get all your stuff.
Hey, one of my handles on the internet is the Grim Boomer.
The Grim Boomer? Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
All righty.
Well, I used to belong to a social site, and there was this I don't know what generation she was from, but she was this blonde kind of Aryan snob, mm-hmm. and who was leaning toward the National Socialist thing and everything, and she was really insulting to all of us people of, a little older, us boomer types. And she was always posting this meme with this woman standing there, like with her hand on her hip and just rolling her eyes going, okay, boomer, So a bunch of us all got together and put our heads together, and we all changed our handles to whatever it was, boomer, and I, or something boomer. And so I came up with the Grim Boomer, and it had this picture of a woman reaper,
Well, you see, that's actually very smart. If someone's going to make fun of your generation, just go ahead and take it like a badge of courage and just take it and run with it, that sort of thing, and then it loses its power. And by the way, I'm not a fan of these battles between the generations. I really do think this is kind of a fake thing. I really do.
It's pathetic.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that now. Sure, I was making fun of Gen Z there just a moment ago, but that is the stereotype. The stereotype is the Gen Z saying, well, I want to have, I don't want to have to go out to work. I want to have experiences. I don't want to have things. That's how it's being portrayed out there. I want experiences. Millennials to a lesser extent about this too. Until grandma dies, and then they want the things. It's amazing. They'll be first in line like everybody else. But I would like those things.
I have friends of so many different generations, and we're actually friends. They're not just people I happen to know. I mean, we get along. I consider them friends. It doesn't matter if they're my age or in their 20s or 30s or whatever. It's just, it's the person, not,
I'm right there with you. And I, one of the things is that I have a bit of sympathy for Gen Z and millennials. And of course, I have a millennial a daughter, Sarah, who turned 30. She's a young millennial, one of the earliest of the millennial ones. And she turned 32 yesterday. And so I called her up and talked with her, and it was a good conversation. We haven't talked for, a number of months here, but it was good to catch up. And there are some challenges with everything going on over in Florida because her guy ends up is working for the federal government as a contractor, and so that's looking a little iffy, right?
Okay.
She still works for OHSU, and a lot of funding out of OHSU is a little iffy too, right? So things are looking a little dicey right now. But She has such skills, she'll be fine even if OHSU were to cut the research that she's doing, you know, that kind of thing. But
right.
But be that as it may, though, I have sympathy for both millennials and Gen Z because they were the generations, in my opinion, that were the beginning of generations that really weren't raised. They were kind of watched and they had the play date. And there was a lot of the helicopter parenting that came in there. And they weren't really required to deal with pain to the same extent as some other generations. Or it's just like, okay, hey, you know, you're going to get punched in the face. You got to get up and move along. And getting punched in the face hurts. Yeah, we know, but you got to move on.
Get back up. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But the other aspect of this is that they really prevailed over the massive decline in ideological raping of the American educational system. I really take that to my core. I mean, I was a late boomer, and I knew that the education that I got in the 1970s was a far cry from what my parents got in the 1950s. And
right.
I was still able to recover, you know, to a certain extent.
Look at our Declaration of Independence. Look at the cursive handwriting on there, and look at the way people don't even do that anymore. They can't even spell words anymore. It's pathetic. It's just really pathetic.
Yeah, and they're kind of suffering as generations because of this, because of the education I think that they were subjected to, and maybe it's the fault of the boomers and older millennials for not paying as much attention or just kind of standing aside as the ideologues, as the communists ended up taking over these institutions. So maybe there is some blame to apply there. I guess now there's, how do we move forward? How do we recover from this? I appreciate your call there. Hey, those are some big, big pebbles here. Okay.
Wait.
What? What?
I have one more. Okay. The reason I actually called.
Oh, so all this conversation, and it wasn't why you called. Great. All right.
Really?
Now you tell me.
I heard on the news just before your show came on that President Trump was really appreciated what country did that guy get sent to by accident?
El Salvador, I think.
El Salvador. Okay. Mm-hmm. He really appreciated his stance of not just sending him back. And he's now considering the legality of sending really hardcore criminals that are American citizens out of the country.
I read about that the other day.
That's insane. He's losing it. I think he's losing it. I'm starting to get really worried about
almost like a sending American citizens into a devil's island. That would be okay. You know, I can see that. On the other hand, I'm not going to sit there and be and just cry a lot over an MS-13 gang member that got sent there rather than a trendy Nicaraguan. You know,
he wasn't an American citizen, from what I understand.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you're not an American citizen. You didn't belong here. Well, sucks to be you at this point. Sorry, you know.
But I don't care. We have prisons, and if we have somebody, we convict somebody of a crime, then we'll take care of it. We have to pay for their imprisonment or their being killed or whatever. You know, I mean, it's like you don't send them to I'm sorry, I can't even talk. Hard.
No, okay, no. In other words, Trumpy is real light on constitutional reality in this particular case, right?
He's losing it, and that scares me because. You know, he's been doing some pretty weird stuff, and he's getting a lot of weird reactions. And all I know is if he doesn't pull it together, the Democrats are going to end up back in power. And that is terrifying.
Yeah, I would be looking forward to looking at the midterms a little more scantily if some of this stuff continues. I will agree with you on a bit of that. OK. All right. Francine, thank you. Now that she buried the lead, saved it for last, huh? 29 after 6, this is the Bill Myers Show.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your water, no one's monitoring what's in your water. It's up to you to be sure that the water you and your family are drinking is safe and free of contaminants. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for a full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
Home and business owners prefer to work with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Free estimates, affordable, efficient, fast, friendly, arrive on time, finish on time. You can count on us for quality roofing. Call us today to get your estimate tomorrow. 941-3736.
CCB number 250730.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rental Garage, and I'm on KMED.
631, check news here in just a moment. Michael Letts is going to join me. We want to talk a bit about how New Mexico, I just mentioned this the other day, New Mexico is going to send the National Guard to Albuquerque because of the dirt bagginess and the crime and the drugs and the homelessness, and I guess they've kind of reached a critical point there. Meanwhile, President Trump talking about sending American citizens to El Salvador. We'll have to talk about that. I need to get a little more information about what Francine was talking about. I read a story like that briefly and kind of went, I don't know if I like the looks of that, but we'll talk about that a bit more. But Michael Letts will join me on the New Mexico talk here in just a moment. And then we're going to talk with David Bahnsen. David Bahnsen of the Bahnsen Group, big financial brain. And I subscribe to his Dividend Cafe, which is a free financial publication, gets in there every afternoon. And yeah, we'll kind of go into what's going on with the markets. Are we looking at a phase rotation, as they call it, or whatever? We'll kind of get the bottom line here. I read so much about the markets, and sometimes I'm still kind of glazed over, about everything that we're seeing here, the tariffs and everything else. We'll have all of that coming up. And Harmon will also be joining me for a good political talk. We always do that, too. It's 6:32 at KMED, 99.3 KPXG. News next, and then we'll do that on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Michael Letts.
Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're hearing The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
Michael A. Letts joins me. He's the founder, president, CEO of In-Vest USA. In-Vest USA. Now, this is a grassroots nonprofit helping hundreds of communities around the country provide thousands of bulletproof vests for their police forces. Pretty interesting stuff. Hey, Michael, welcome back to the show. Good to have you on.
Always a privilege to be with you, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Now, the first question I'm having is, what is it about these police departments that don't provide proper vests to their crew? I don't quite understand the need for InVest, or I'm puzzled about the need for InVest. Could you help me understand that a bit, please?
I'd be glad to, because I've served in public office for 30 years as well, and I can tell you this. Here's what typically happens. When you have a city or a county, and unfortunately, we have lost statesmanship in public office. Now we try to do everything we can to please as many people as possible. The Constitution never asked for that. The Constitution gave us specific requirements, that is to provide for the safety, to defend the people, things along those lines. Mm-hmm. All this other stuff just came across later. They decided they liked being in public office, and they wanted to figure out how to guarantee by doing as much as they could to satisfy or to pacify as many people as possible. So in the old days, when you got $100 in, you made sure your police department and your fire department and the emergency services, first responders were taken care of first. Then you decided how you're going to spend the rest. Now it's kind of like, okay, we've got 15 or 10 different groups that we want to make happy, so that's $10 a piece. We hope it works for you. If it doesn't, it's tough.
So in other words, it's strange priorities in many locales.
It is.
All right. Now,
of course, when we first started, we had only 52% of cops that had vests or that didn't have vests. And we got that down to 19%, but then they changed the tactics. Instead of using pistols, they used long-range rifles, so we had to create new vests called active shooter vests. They have titanium plates. Quite frankly, they'll stop anything, but only 10% of cops have them right now. 90% do not.
All right. So what has happened then is that the bar has also been raised then for vests. and the standard pistol round vest is not going to help anybody if they're blasting a 308 at them, let's say, something
exactly
like that.
Right.
Is that kind of where you're coming from?
And the cartels, they use AK-47s. You see that nowadays. I mean, you know, most of the terrorists and cartel members, gang members around here, they don't come in with a little pistol anymore. They come in with full firepower.
All right. And so that's why you were working with your grassroots group here to up that, to actually up the quality of the vest. So your police officers may have vests, but are they active shooter rifle-ready vests? Most likely not.
The answer is,
is that what you're telling me?
That's correct. The answer is 90% that no, they do not have those.
What is the difference in cost, if you don't mind?
Interestingly, I mean, it's shocking. The concealable vests run about $500. The active shooter vests run about $7. It's very comparable, very close.
I would imagine it's a bit bulkier, though, right? Isn't that part of it? Where
it is. It is. It's a little heavier. It's a little bulkier. But I will tell you this. We've got the carriers designed in such a way that with the shoulder padding on, you can't tell the difference. You feel just as comfortable in one as you do in the other.
Now, I have a couple of nephews of mine that are in local police forces around here, and they do talk about, you know, usually they're always wearing the vest if they're out in public on patrol doing things like that. But they do say that, especially in the summer times around here, when it's 100, 105, 110, gets pretty brutal.
No question. And you're exactly right. You know, it's interesting. We've looked at this concept. And I'm throwing it out to your listeners in case I have any engineers out there, inventors. But we started off, we tried one kind of vest where we put cool packs. You know, you freeze these little gel packs and shove them down in there. And that works great for about 45 minutes, and then it's gone. Then we decided to come up with another tactic. You put a cover over your air conditioner in the cruiser. You put the hose directly down your shirt.
Yeah.
That works. But, of course, it only works while you're in the car.
Huh.
And trust me, it gets, you know, when you're running one of those things on, you heat up very quickly.
Well, maybe what we're going to have to do next then is some variation of the astronaut suits that would have the little refrigeration unit when they would go to the moon. And then had a little thing on the side, battery power thing. It's the only thing that kept them from broiling once they got out of the capsule. That kind of thing. Maybe you have to do that someday. I don't know.
I think that's on the horizon, but I will tell you what's probably on the horizon. I know we're shifting gears a little bit, but it's amazing how robotics is taking over.
Uh-huh.
Don't be surprised if you see down the road robotic police officers.
Yeah, you know, I can't exactly say that I'm looking forward to that particular day, Michael, if it gets there.
I would agree wholeheartedly, but I think it's coming whether you and I like it or not.
Yeah, yeah. RoboCop, at least RoboCop had a human brain inside it. The thought of an sentient, okay. That, you're right, that is a completely different conversation. Why, by the way, what is the website then for Invest so people can find out more about that?
INVESTUSA.org. It's a charity.
All right.
And, you know, they can make sure they participate in helping our officers. Here's what's critical about it, Bill. We've asked our Thin Blue Line, America's Heroes, to go after now these cartel members, these illegal immigrants that are murderers, rapists, et cetera. They're not anxious to go home. So we're putting them in harm's way, and they don't even have the necessary protection to go home safe to their families.
You know, you're going to make me ask our own police department if they issue tacticals to everybody, or if they maybe the standard concealable one. Is what they issue for everyone. I don't know.
You need to ask them. If they need active shooter vests, you've got a direct line now, Bill.
Okay.
If they get in touch with us, we'll give them to them.
All right. You got it, Michael. Hey, I appreciate you letting me know about that. I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on an interesting little wrinkle in the news. Hasn't gotten a lot of press, but it has to do with what's happening in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I first mentioned this last week. And they're going to be sending National Guard troops in New Mexico to Albuquerque to patrol the streets, to actually go on the streets of their largest city because of the dirtbagginess, cartel violence, homeless, fentanyl, methamphetamine. I mean, it's just like everything. It just seems to be coming to a head. You think this is something that might be a growing trend in our so-called land of the free in the near future?
I think it already is a growing trend.
It is.
But it's not where we need to be. Let me tell you what we have looked at talking about in the administration itself. Now, New Mexico, they need to take a look in the mirror. They've caused their own problems by sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, et cetera, and not cooperating with federal law enforcement.
Mm.
That's why they're having the problem that they have, and they're taking an extreme measure to do so. However, we have always said we have a list, for lack of a better word, of people that are involved in gangs, cartel members, drug dealers, people that have come here illegally as murderers and rapists from other countries that are sort of, we have terrorists, you know, we've just released, of course, the mainstream media didn't tell you about it. We now have doctrine. We have over 1,000 Taliban. I'm not talking about they live in a different country. I'm talking about the actual Taliban who are terrorists in this country right now.
Right. Now, who decided that we had a shortage of Taliban and we needed to permit some of these to live here? Is this like Taliban dirtbag equity here? were supposed to have, you know.
You're exactly right, Bill.
Okay. All right. Where now? How did they find this out? Was this something which was official or just kind of allowed in under the standard Biden? We'll just let anybody with a pulse through.
It was, right now, to give them the best spin on it, it was just we're allowing anybody in. We hate to think that it was targeted, but quite frankly, we're beginning to wonder now. Because most people don't understand, you know, we give the Taliban almost $45 million a day.
Even right now.
Afghanistan.
Even right now.
Yeah, now that's been cut off under Trump. But for the last 4 years, we're getting $45 million a day.
Interesting.
So with that kind of a warm, cozy feeling, kind of wonder whether they also said, hey, you're $45 million. Hey, free invitation. You want to come over anytime, let us know. We'll send you a plane ticket.
In a more sensible time, what has been done to our country would definitely be termed treason, wouldn't it?
Good question. There is so many acts of treason. You know, I tell people this. I just want to give them food for thought. You know, we've expanded Gitmo. Remember that Gitmo was a military institution for housing military prisoners. Military prisoners also include military tribunals. Treason can only be tried by military tribunal. We've got 30,000 empty beds now. We just expanded to 30,000 in anticipation about what is coming. You're seeing all these stories about corruption of, it's not fraud. I mean, it's fraud. It's not just waste. It's fraud, money laundering, extortion, taking money out of the U.S. Treasury, stealing, and then all the other crimes that have been committed, selling us out with our foreign national security, et cetera. All that's going to be being brought to justice. So we're hoping we have enough room for 30,000 people to say, why would you say that many? You realize how many people it takes to be able to cover up an operation like, say, Social Security. We just discovered we're giving out 4 million that are supposed to have been, or deceased Social Security numbers that are supposed to have been retired, giving them to illegal immigrants to qualify for driver's license, voting, et cetera. That's still treason.
I've often wondered here.
How many people take to do that?
Yeah. I've wondered, Michael, if really the part which is unspoken about all the fraud which is being discovered bit by bit is that I wonder what percentage of the, not just the administrative state, but I often wonder what percentage of congressmen have been openly and, well, not openly, but actively on the take of these organizations helping to make this happen. Because, you know, way too many seem to get very wealthy while they're in office. And it just is.
You're exactly right. But here's why you hear the laughter. They're just discovering we know who it is. We have a long, long list. And quite frankly, we know exactly how they set it up to the NGOs, how the funding goes back so that it appears to be untraceable. It's not. And why do you think the president orders through executive order that every member of Congress finances are now being looked at? If you came in with $100, you still have $100 in your account, that'll probably be a five-second conversation. You came in with $100, now you got $100 million in your account after 4 or 5 years, we will have a little chat, aren't we?
I would hope so. Michael Letts is with me once again. He's the founder and president and CEO of Invest USA, and they help hundreds of communities provide thousands of bulletproof vests. Back to the Albuquerque situation where the National Guard will be patrolling it. You know, at first this sounded like a pretty good thing if they're going to get control of this, but you said that New Mexico needs to look at itself because of its sanctuary state liberal policies. Well, Oregon is much the same way. We're in a red and or purpley area of southern Oregon, but essentially under the boot of a just a incredibly irresponsible Democratic supermajority in the state. And so we also are a sanctuary city and such. Did you realize that in Albuquerque, when they take the National Guard troops and have them patrolling, they're not armed and they're not in uniform? Did you hear that part of the story?
I did. I'm very well aware of it. That's a recipe for disaster. This whole recipe that they're using is for disaster. Let me tell you the right recipe. First of all, you have the right laws in place and policies in place. And one of those is not to say we don't respect the role of the federal government for immigration. I'm sorry if you don't respect it, but that's what the Constitution says. You don't like it, change the Constitution. So we recognize that the federal government has the right to decide who should be here and who should not be here. If you're not here for the legal basis, you're a criminal. You're here illegally. Mm-hmm. I don't care whether you've done anything or not. You've broken our laws. Now, what is the role for the military? Because of the past administrations, and I'm going to use plural, not just singular, because of the past administrations being so lax and allowing this to occur, we have tens of millions. There's no way our law enforcement can handle that. It's impossible for the thin blue line to do that. So what do? We target, we have a list, we target, we know who the criminals are, the drug dealers, the gang members, as I went through the list, the terrorists, you know, the child sex traffickers, that's huge. Child sex traffickers, et cetera. We don't even have enough to be able to handle that correctly. So we engage special forces to do a special operations. We go clean this up. Once we clean it up, that's not their role anymore. We take them out. And then local law enforcement needs to pick up the tab and continue to move forward. That's how you do it, right? And no, you don't hide it. You American people, you may not like it. I don't like it. But that's the only way we're going to get control over the issue and reestablish security and freedom.
Doesn't that run afoul, though, of the posse comitatus law?
It does, except for if you know, there are provisions that you can enact. And let me just slip my mind. The president had done it before. I'm talking about previous president, but Bush did it before. When you can use the military for a specific purpose. And that is what we would be looking to do.
Mm. Well, that could be interesting. And I, you know, if we have to do that, perhaps maybe that's where we have to go. You know, the one thing that the president was musing about the other day, which I think needs to be shut down and shut down pretty quickly, is that he was musing about actually sending American citizens to overseas prisons for a particular reason. I think that is a bad policy and should be nipped pretty soon. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, it's bad policy, but let me tell you, explain the rationale just on a show 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
For that particular reason. Here's what you need to understand. And sometimes people think everything the president says is gospel. That's exactly what we're doing. Sometimes the president is posturing. Right now, whether you like it or not, we have got a global understanding or a global reputation that we are soft on crime. If you want to commit a crime, come to America, because if you get caught, you get three squares, air conditioning, color TV, and the list goes on and on. So just put out the image that perhaps we may not do that. We may send you to some place that's got a bad reputation.
Yeah, we send you to the El Salvador prison, as an example, which is not exactly that is not a club fed, right?
Suddenly that mindset across the world is, we better check this out, see if there's any truth to that or not, because if that's the case, we don't want to commit a crime there. If we get to go to one of these luxury prisons in the U.S., at the same time, we need to totally reform our prison system. I think everybody would agree with that.
All right. So you think it's a little bit of posturing, wanting to raise the concept of a higher risk-to-reward ratio, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right. I would understand that. You would just hate to – I just don't like to see anything that is even posturing – about shutting down what are already, in my opinion, very fragile constitutional rights in this country.
You and I are in total agreement there, Bill. I mean, we are the Constitution's under attack. We have to defend it and strengthen it, not weaken it.
Yeah, and of course, lots of emergency declarations and things tend to not be really friendly to the Constitution when you look back at history. Okay.
It just came up. It's the Insurrection Act that the president can implement, use military on U.S. grounds.
All right. Very good. Michael, I appreciate you coming on this morning. Thanks for telling us more about Invest. And, I don't think this is going to work out well for the National Guard in Albuquerque if you're going to put them
out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, in harm's way. If you're going to, you know, they're actually going to be putting them in golf shirts. You can believe that, polo shirts out there.
That's barbaric. To do that to law enforcement, that's asking them to be targets.
Yeah, but supposedly it'll then help the police officers be able to concentrate on the really serious things. Talk about posturing, as it were, here, Michael, okay? You take care, and thanks again. We'll have you back. Be well.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless America. You're doing a great job. Keep it up, Hill.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Letts, InvestUSA. InvestUSA. I'll put his information on KMED.com so you can find out more about that. This is the Bill Myers Show, KMED and 99.3 KBXG. When the IRS comes knocking, then...
nhearing.com.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
A few other stories, headlines of note here in Southern Oregon this time around. KOBI 5 reporting that RVTD is looking at some budget cuts and cutting back on transit services in 2026. I have a feeling this has a lot to do with the federal grant stream funding being trimmed, that sort of thing. And a lot of folks don't realize just how dependent, you know, we create these big transit systems that are mostly dependent on grant stream funding, like even the buses for the most part. It'll be really interesting to see how this plays out there as a nation, which is borrowing, let's see, what is it? You spend $3 and then one of them is borrowed. One out of every $3 is borrowed right now. That's the definition of unsustainable, as it were. And so the rain is going to fall on the just and the unjust equally, I think, here. And I know people are saying, in Grants Pass, we're going to lose that $50 million grant is the way it's looking like. And how else can we approach this if you elect someone who's going to be a disruptor and then you're upset when the disruption doesn't go your way? If you're saying, hey, we don't want to spend as much money, we want to get things back in and trim the sails and get things back into where we're paying for what we actually need. How else do you do this? Yeah, I know that happened over the weekend. You know, you found out that in Grants Pass, the $50 million grant is likely for the water treatment plant is likely going to go sideways. Well, we don't know for sure. This is something I'm sure they're looking at here. It's a big deal. But how did we ever get to the point where we decided that to build our local water plant or our local sewage treatment plant or to pave our roads, et cetera, that we were supposed to go to the federal government for such things? I'm not happy about it. I mean, it's not like I'm saying it's a happy thing. I'm just saying it's just the reality. They're math problems, and the math problems are not going to be allowed to be continued for much longer, I guess. General Manager Julie Brown at RVTD says that RVTD will not feel the impact until July 2026. Yeah, the fiscal budgeting cycle there. But if there is no increase in funding for transit services, RVTD looking at a roughly 20% loss of routes or loss of 81 jobs, bus drivers, maintenance workers, and administration staff. And Brown says RVTD will work with the community to determine what routes are needed. As long as you're not going and trying to raise the property tax rate, Julie, you can go ahead and talk to the community, okay? Just saying. We had a Jacksonville man accused of luring the teen via Snapchat. That guy, 39-year-old Anthony Nicholas Wheeler, he appeared in court yesterday. It was arraigned. And so brief appearance scheduled for, it's a pretrial conference, ultimately continued by 9. They're going to have more attorneys time to prepare for a trial here. And so I guess that Wheeler waived his right to have his case brought to trial within 60 days of his arrest. Contacted a local teenager via the quick ad feature on the mobile messaging app Snapchat. This according to the Jackson County Sheriff's. And in Josephine County, we have a 30-year-old man in custody. This one was just brutal. This story kind of got lost in the shuffle, I guess, somehow. But he's in jail on a murder charge because he took a shovel and just, he's accused of taking a shovel and whacking this guy over the head several times. James Dale Ross, he's the accused perp, and he's accused of taking a shovel and just beating Roy Harvey several times on the head with a shovel March 4th. And, you know, I think the reason we didn't hear much about this is that Roy was in a coma in the hospital here since March 4th, and he finally died on March 26th. So now comes the murder charge. And he's set for arraignment on charges of second-degree murder, unlawful use of a weapon. Not a lot of details, but it happened over at the Fruitdale Apartments on Rogue River Highway. Now, this is reported in the Daily Courier. Isn't that the same apartment complex that has had some other crime issues? I want to say some shootings or, you know, every city has those kind of apartment complexes, right? You know, those kind of apartment complexes. Like, we have some apartment complexes in Southwest Medford that when you hear about, people got angry with each other and then they started shooting each other out of the parking lot. You know, there's always a bad, a lot of Section 8 housing, et cetera, but that's okay. That's okay because, you know, even criminals need government-subsidized housing, I guess. Being a little sarcastic because it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. It's a minute after 6, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KPXG, Grants Pass. We're going to talk about the money here in just a little bit. David Bonson of the Bonson Group. Kick that around coming up.
This is Brent from Home and Built Deck and Fence, your Trex Pro Gold Builder. Is